want to say happy Mother's Day for me to all of you ladies. As a matter of fact, why don't you all, I want to ask all the ladies to stand with me if you would. Go ahead. It's okay. You can stand up. All the ladies. Isn't that a song? Yeah. I know. I was hoping one of y'all would sing it. Didn't work today. It was a bad joke. I'm sorry. I ask all the ladies to stand because here's what I truly believe. It is a time where we need to be sensitive. There's some of you have lost mothers and your mother's not here. There's some of you who want kids and haven't been able to have them. There's some of you who just, whatever life circumstances, don't have kids. But here's what I believe. I believe that each and every one of you have the ability, the God-given ability, to speak into the lives of others, to put the knowledge and the wisdom and your life experience into the generation that's coming behind us because they need help. Just like I said earlier with the children, with dedicating them, don't be afraid if you have wisdom to be able to speak that wisdom into the generation coming. That I realize there's our world has all different kind of situations now with step-parents, the things we talked about on that video, and it truly is my heart to see you change the next generation, whether it be biological or not. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stretch your hands out, you men, and why don't we bless these ladies? Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for all these ladies. Whatever situation they're in, Father God, I thank you. They have wisdom in them. They have your knowledge in them. And Father God, that word comes from them, and I ask you to help them impart it into the generation that's coming behind us. Father God, return their time to them as they invest into their children, Father God, and their stepchildren, their adopted children, their foster children, and Father God, even just the children next door, that they speak life into them. As they do that, Father God, you return to them the time invested in those lives, Father God. We bless these ladies now to go from here and change the world, to change our city, and to change our county. And we show them extra special love today and say thank you for putting them in our lives. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you give them a hand as they sit down? I want to take a quick second, if you're watching online, I know we got a bunch today that are watching the children's dedication, to say hello to you. Also, I can look in the camera, and I have this advantage to look in the camera and say happy Mother's Day to my mom. She's in Macon at their church, and hopefully we'll get to spend some time with them soon. Melanie, I will say thank you to her. She has the most patience and the most grace, and that's just with me, not much less the kids. And she does a tremendous job pouring her life and God into our girls, and for that, I'm very appreciative. I will always say that I certainly married up, and in intelligence and grace and passion and the whole nine yards, God was really good to me. Putting Melanie in my life, and I honor her this morning. And we actually want to honor all of you ladies. We have a special gift that you'll get on the way out. If you did not get a family photo on the way out, I realize we have a large crowd today, so just be patient. We will get you all through, get you all pictures. I know we all have places to be, but what we do is we take these pictures and we pick the best one of the series of you, and then we're going to have them printed so when you come back, we try to have them back by next week, but I'm not making any promises. And we have you a print done, and we will also upload these online. So if you follow us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, we'll have a link there where you can actually go and download your family photo. They're yours. They're our gift to you. And then also for the ladies, when you go out, we've got a little bag, a little present for each of you on the way out, and we should have enough for everybody. If we don't, it's not my fault. Actually, it will be my fault. But we want to honor you, and I couldn't think of a better time on than Mother's Day, a fitting topic than to talk about honor. We're in this series, for those of you who are visiting with us today, called A Little Bit of Wisdom. It's based off the book of Proverbs, which was written by King Solomon, who was the son of King David, who the Bible says of King Solomon, he was the smartest guy in Egypt, that God gave him all the knowledge of Egypt. And we began to study this. This is one of three books that he wrote. He wrote the Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and he wrote Proverbs. And the whole series comes from this scripture here. It's in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. It says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. So it's right up there at the top of God's list. He goes on to say, whatever it takes, give everything you got. get wisdom and get understanding, no matter the cost, no matter the price. And honestly, if you look, the first proverb, really, in the book of Proverbs, actually talks about mothers. If you remember last week, the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs is actually Solomon making his case for getting wisdom. I encourage you, if you're facing a decision, you know, looking for the wisdom of God, read the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. And he begins to make a case for wisdom and why it's so important and how you get it. And it's really a good place to start if you're looking for wisdom in your lives. But the actual Proverbs don't start until Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. And this is when he starts the one-liners, just line after line of wisdom, nugget after nugget. And this is where it actually starts. And it says, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. See, really, this idea of honor is one that if we talk about it and we can adopt it, it'll be a game changer for your relationships, for the difficult relationships. It'll be a game changer for your life if we can just buy into this idea. Because here's the truth of it is, and you read through Proverbs, we talked about last week, you'll find this over and over, that it uses a description of a group of people called fools. And fools have one thing in common when you read this through Proverbs. You see this. Fools despise. They despise authority. They despise those who should receive honor. Despise just means simply to consider worthless or unworthy of honor. Then Solomon, if you skip all the way to the very last book of Proverbs and the very last verse, in chapter 31 is a book solely about a woman of honor and the value of this woman who serves God and follows God. And look what he says as he's praising this wife who is a woman of honor. It says, honor her for all that her hands have done, and her works that bring her praise at the city gates. In other words, brag on her. Brag on your girl. Brag on your wife. I'm telling you, Mel and I we laugh because when it comes to just all areas of lovey-dovey and ooey-gooey, that is just not us. And we've tried to. Some of you guys are good at that. You know, some of you guys in public and you're ooey gooey love and batting your eyes at each other. And, you know, and it cracks Melanie and I up personally. Because we tried that. I said, you know, we need to show our love for each other so people can see how much I love you and how much you. Now, I'm not talking about like get a room kind of stuff. But just show appreciation and touch and kiss and hug and appropriate public display. But we just laugh, because if we're in our house and I try to get serious and how much I love you and get ooey goo, we both just crack up, because it's just so not in our personality. But it doesn't change the fact that I need to talk some smack about my girl every now and then and honor her. We are ones here at the church, and there's a lot of you who honor us like way more than I think we deserve, and especially her. But I need to take the opportunity to say how much I honor her, how much I love her, how much she does for my family and the life that she is able to provide for me. She breathes so much life into her. And you need to brag on them. I think this is important because if you look at the world around us, even in the South, good old Southern boy like me, we're trained to yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. When I lived in California for a while, ladies would scream at me because I would call them yes, ma'am. And they would scream, I'm not old. And I would have to explain, I know you're not old. It's just I'm raised in the South, and it's just a sign of respect as a lady. We just, you know, open the door for you. This is the way we're raised. But the truth of the matter is, even in the South, honoring is fading away. People think now, and watch the news. Watch the way college age downs speak to each other. They don't honor each other. They one-up each other by dishonoring. They would say, oh, I'm just playing, I'm just joking. But over and over, they dishonor. Almost like if I can dishonor you enough, I can step myself up in status. Online, they dishonor. On their social media. And we as a generation are all doing it. We're dishonoring each other. It's becoming this norm. We say whatever we want and treat people however we want. And we do it in the name of my rights. But to honor simply means this. To honor is to value. Some of you honor your stuff more than you do your spouse. Some of us honor other people outside of our families than we do our own spouses and families. It's to show value, to show worth. The literal translation of honor is to give weight. As I was thinking about it the other day, I guess you could say it like this. When somebody has shown honor, there's a presence. That when somebody of honor, you know, a dignitary, somebody walks in the room, everybody kind of perks up. Unfortunately, I think we perk up to the wrong people, the people that really have no business being esteemed are, and the people who need to be valued aren't. Then there's dishonor. That simply means to take lightly, to devalue. When you're dishonoring, we'll just pick on moms. When you dishonor your mom, no matter who she is or what the condition is, the Bible says that you devalue her. And this honor is not a deserved thing. Today I want to give you a real quick look at according to the Bible, of honor according to the Bible. And listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're visiting today, what you see is what you get. I'm sorry. If you're disappointed, tough. This is all I got. But I want to share something with you because I think it's important that we understand. Because I understand not all of you have great parents. All of you have not had great experience. I've been blessed. I have my parents still married, approaching their 50th anniversary. My brothers are happily married. Families are good. I've been blessed. But I'm not so naive that I don't understand that when you talk about parents, you talk about mothers, a lot of people have a lot of hurt. A lot of people in your life, maybe outside of your family, who have hurt you. And you tell me, well, these people don't deserve honor. And I get it. I'm right there with you. It's hard. But let me say this to you, that just because it's hard doesn't make it right for you to dishonor them. There are lots of things in life and in your godly walk that are not easy, and I realize that, but maybe this will help you. Because honor does not begin with how they treated you. Honor begins with how God views them. Honor begins with how God views them, not how they treated you. You see, God's view of them, and now this is good news for all of us, that God can see us and see you in both your complete state of depravity and your complete state of perfection. He can see you in your mess, and he sees you as he created you to be, whole, complete, and lacking nothing. He sees you fulfilling your purpose. He sees you before you know God, before you find freedom, before you figure out why you're here and discover purpose. And he sees you making a difference before you ever showed up on this earth. And that's good for all of us, but God sees us as we, not only sees us as we are, but he sees us as what we can become. It's much like moms, you look at your kids. You may see them where they are and want to backslap them. Y'all are looking at me like, moms, you ain't ever thought that. As a mom who is 5 foot so and a small woman, I mean, tell you, that doesn't mean a hill of beans. When she wants to let you know something, she'll let you know something. And as a child, it switched that long or switched that long. It hurt either way. And there are times when I know I disappointed my parents. They saw me as in my current state of just a punk little kid. But as parents, we also see our children as President of the United States, as CEO, as whatever you see in your mind their greatness is and their purpose in life is. We have high hopes for our children. We still see what they become. There's this term in the Bible called a doctrine of glorification, a big fancy term for seeing you as God created you, not as the current state that you're in. Look what the Bible says here in Romans. It says, and this scripture is taken so out of context so many times. It says, and those he predestined. That doesn't mean there's only a select number of people that get into heaven. And I'll stand toe-to-toe and argue with you if people want to go. This simply means in the Bible, if you take this in context of the whole Bible, he says that God created all of us. He predestined all of us, from the sweetest saint in the room to the sorriest lowlife that we could say, that person doesn't deserve it. He predestined all of us to know him, to spend eternity with him through his son Jesus. So he predestines, and those he predestined, he also called. He's called all of us. He also justified. Those he justified, justified is simply, I look, Cam says this all the time, it's just as if I've never sinned. Through Jesus, he removed our sin. And then the Bible says, I love this line. He also glorified. He sees you as made perfect before you are perfect. I was telling, I think, Melanie the other day, it's kind of that God's got the permanent Google eyes for you. You ever remember when you met your boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe your spouse, and they walk in the room, and it's just like, oh, and angels are flying around, and rainbows, and birds are tweeting. Guys, that was a great chance for y'all to get in there, and you missed it. It happened to me. I can honestly say, I remember Melanie walking in the room to the Oral Roberts University, and across the room, it was about like from here to the wall, and she comes down, and it was like the world just stopped. Yeah, that's exactly what I said. It terrified me. It terrified me. But you need to know, the Bible says that God sees you like that. Now, the problem with us in life is that wears off after about 10 minutes, right? The beautiful woman, the beautiful man you thought you married, about a week after you get home from the honeymoon, you're like, what have I done? I don't remember you looking like this last week, right? Or the first time you pull a pair of underwear out of the floor, or dirty socks, or whatever it may be. See, we lose this glorified vision real quick. What the Bible says of God through Jesus, he sees us glorified and perfect. But he also understands that he had to provide and make provision for us to cross this threshold of our imperfection. The crap in our life, the sin, the drugs, the drinking, all the things we know in our life that we're not supposed to be doing. We're writing a chapter of our book that's not supposed to be there. See, he sees you made perfect before you ever get there. And we need to understand that honor begins with God's view. Honor also benefits me too. Starts out how God sees you, but honor also is something that benefits us. I'm starting to see that as we honor people, it not only makes a difference in their life, which it does, but it makes a more significant difference in mine. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. A lot of you, if you're familiar with the New Testament, recognize this scripture. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with what? A promise. Children, which we all are, no matter what the world may come up with, no matter what the world may conjure, and all the different kinds of marriages and families, and I understand, you need to understand this. No matter what your view is, everybody got a mom and a daddy, whether you know them or not. And it breaks my heart for those of you who say, I'll never know, I don't know. Some of you have been adopted and had wonderful lives through an adoptive parent. But the bottom line is, we all have mamas and daddies. And honor, again, does not start with what they've done to us. Honor starts by God's view of them. But there's this promise that says it will go well with you and you may enjoy long life here on the earth. Again, I understand that some of you had terrible parents. But you need to know, this is not an obedience issue. I was asked one time by a teenager who had some parents who were not good, like encouraging them to sleep around, encouraging them, hey, come do drugs with me. Hey, let's go do this bad. And they asked me, what do I do? And my answer to them was, if they're telling you to do something that's against the word that the Bible says you know is wrong, there's nothing that says you have to obey that. But you do have to honor them. And you need to understand that it helps you be in honor happens in that situation because you honor the seat they sit in, not the person and their morality. It's no different. And I'm not diving into the political realm, no matter which side you fall on, whether your president was favorite Obama or your president is Trump or your favorite, whoever it is. And this just is one, it's a soapbox and I'm getting on it. And if you don't like it, sorry. But it doesn't matter who the president is, who the leaders are. If they sit in that place of authority, the Bible says that you honor the seat. You got quiet in here. The Bible says of our local officials, national officials, state officials, you honor the seat. When you walk into a courtroom and the bailiff says, all rise, the honorable so-and-so and so-and-so. But what if that so-and-so is so-and-so is really a sad, sorry so-and-so and so-and-so? Do we all go, yeah, I know who you are, I'm sitting down. No, what? We honor because he's the judge. And he has the power to go, you are going to jail. You are free. He has authority in his seat. And the Bible says that that is the seat of honor. And that's where it starts. Ephesians 2 does not give an exclusion clause for character or morality. Whether you like it or not, the president, past president, they were elected. They weren't based, and the honor that is owed to them is not based on their character or lack of it. And we need to honor that, and it does you good. Now, the last one I want to give you real quick, you need to understand this, that respect is earned, but honor is given. I get it when people say, I can't respect that guy, that girl. They just haven't earned my respect. I get that. There's a lot of people that it's hard to respect and approve of what they're doing. I don't. But the Bible doesn't say that honor is earned. The Bible says honor is given. And I promise you, if you begin to live this out, the moment you do, you'll be tested by somebody who you think and probably really doesn't deserve your honor. The moment you walk out that door, somebody who, a human being, a person of God, a created individual of Christ, saved or not, need to be honored. And as soon as you agree, the devil's going to send somebody right down in front of you. The Bible talks about Peter. Actually, Peter talks about this in 1 Peter. But in his day, he was forced to honor church and government leaders that were pretty terrible. They were arrogant. They were only concerned about themselves. They lied, they cheated, they stole. And here is Peter in Peter 1, 1 Peter 2. And there's a lot of us in our country that have a big problem with this word. We fall apart when it says submit. Submit yourselves because you want to. Is that what it says? Submit yourselves because you think it's a good idea, bad idea? No. Submit yourselves why? For the Lord's sake. To every human authority. In other words, like it or not, understanding is not the issue. Sometimes I don't understand why people win offices. Seems like God could have found a slightly higher intelligence level. But God chose, and they're there. I can't answer the question why, I just know it is. Whether to the emperor, in that time it would have been the king, as the supreme authority in verse 14, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong. There's the judge, right? Punish those who are doing wrong. To commend those who are doing right in verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk. And there's that word again of foolish people. Don't give people a reason to talk. It's hard to talk smack back to you when you at least show them the honor and the courtesy that God shows us. You try in your hardest to see them as God sees them, as not in the aggravation that you see them. In verse 16, live free, but do not use your freedom to cover up evil. In other words, just because you have the freedom to do what you want doesn't mean you should do what you want. We live as servants or slaves of the Lord. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and what? Honor. honor the emperor. Even Peter at the time had to honor the emperor that they didn't do a lot of good stuff to them or his people. And he had to show them honor. Honor starts with God's view. Honor is good for you. And honor is given, not earned. Now, real quick, I want to give you just three quick ways we can walk this out. On Mother's Day, we can leave here. And maybe today, let me encourage you this. This person that you just, somebody in your life, because we've all got them, they're hard. You can't, it's just hard to even talk to them, much less honor them. Maybe suck it up and give them a call. And just, I just wanted to say I honor you because you're valuable to God. They may laugh in your face and hang up the phone, but it's you still receive the blessing of doing what the Bible says. And I get it. I mean, hear my heart and look me in the eyes. I get it. I know how terrible that is. I know how hard it is. But the Bible doesn't lie. There's benefits when you honor what God has done and what God can do and how God sees them. So let me give you this real quick, because again, I think honor needs to come back. Again, especially here in the South, it used to be normal to hear yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. And my girls get aggravated with this. I know they do. But Mabel says, hey, daddy. Hey, daddy. And when I answer her, I'll say, Mabel, you know, yes, whatever, and she'll... When she understands what I'm saying, she'll go, okay. And I'll say, what? She'll go, okay, I hear you. What? And I promise you, she walked in the room right now. I could tell, I can go, what? And she'll go, yes, sir. And as a son, as a child, my parents did it to me, and it aggravated the hound out of me. I get it. But I'm trying to instill in her that there is honor to be due, and life is not all about you. Life is about honoring the people that God's put into your life. But guys, you used to open doors for ladies. Not too long ago, we were on the way with the team to Honduras, and we were in the Atlanta airport. And if you've ever been on the Atlanta airport, they have these trains. There's no drivers. It's just computer controlled, and the doors open, and it's like 100 cattle getting in and 100 cattle getting off all at the same time, and it's just a free-for-all. And when you get on the train, it goes to the next gate, and when it says train is stopping at gate A, Alpha, and then starts going through this, and all of a sudden the train just slams on brakes. And it drives me up the wall. I see this every time I travel, to see an older lady standing, holding on to the pole for dear life. And three teenagers or college kids or younger generation sitting on the seat just having a good time. The last time I was in the airport, I was traveling by myself in February and came back and was coming home, and these four kids, I say kids, they're probably in their 20s, are all on their phone, and there's this little gray-haired black lady holding on to the thing, and the train was packed. And I got on, and she said, I have to go to gate D. And we were at gate A, which is four times stopping and starting. We went to the first one, and she's holding on, and I kind of grabbed her, and I finally just had enough. You ever just had enough? You ever just have to get righteously indignant? And I was like, hey, man, get up. And he looked at me like, how dare you tell me to get up? I said, get up. She needs to sit down. And he kind of started. I picked his bag up and moved it over and let her sit down. And three guys down, or like three layers deep, I heard a guy in a military uniform go, thank you. That was bothering me too. And I said, man, no offense, but come on. Just this honor. Didn't cost you anything. Didn't put you out. But just to show this person some honor. Last year, maybe 2 years ago, my wife and I, every year, we try to take 3 or 4 days and just go on a trip. The trustees and the overseers here asked me just to kind of go unplug. And the best way I know to go unplug is go get on a boat in the middle of the ocean where y'all can't call me. And so we went on a 3-day cruise, and when you go into those big eating areas, they have the dinner time where you go in and sit down at nice tables. Then there's like the Golden Corral on the boat, like a big food, and people are just everywhere in traffic. I mean, it's just kind of chaotic. And I went down one day, and I was going to grab some food, and we were just going to take it back to the room, and Melanie had already left. And I come around the corner, and I see a guy in a wheelchair. And then I recognize he's wearing a wounded warrior shirt and paraphernalia, and he's got he was in a specific Marine unit of the Marine Corps, and I recognized it, and I was behind him reading the back of on his wheelchair, and then I noticed we weren't moving, and so I kind of looked ahead of him, and we were coming across traffic, but he had to get to where his food was on the other side. He had already gotten his food. And he could not get his wheelchair. And this guy wasn't but my age. He was in his 40s. He'd obviously been recently injured. And I just kind of sat there for a minute. It probably wasn't a minute. It probably was 20, 30 seconds. But it aggravated me. Again, sometimes honor, you got to point it out. And so I sat behind the guy. And I don't say this to pat myself on the shoulder. I just think I realized a cultural shift. I realized how honor is just so foreign to people were of all ages, just never noticing this guy kept trying to go on his, he had a remote control in the wheelchair to go. And finally, I saw on his insignia that he was a master sergeant. And so I tapped him and I said, "Sergeant, hold on a second." And I went around him and did the traffic cop thing and said, "Stop." I said, "We have a wounded soldier here that needs to get to his food. Stop." Of course, people are banging into each other. And when the guy who I stopped realized what I was doing, he turned sideways, I turned sideways, and we just made him a tunnel about four people deep. We couldn't even honor the guy. If any situation, the guy deserved the honor. Come to find out later, he was injured by IED defending our freedom in the Middle East. But see, honor, the Bible says just very clearly, we're supposed to honor one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor each other above what? Yourselves. And as I sat there, all these people on vacation, supposed to be having a good time, were so involved and wrapped up in themselves, they didn't see not only a guy in need, but a guy that just should be honored. And I don't really care what your political belief is. You like the war, don't like the war. In my book, as a U.S. soldier, as a Marine who fought for me and lets me do what I do without getting shot at, he deserves some honor. And I'll give you the acronym. I won't say it because my mama will come through here and smack me when she sees me. But it PO'd me. I was upset. And as I begin to think about this week of us honoring our parents and honoring our family and honoring moms, I'm just going to look at, not at you in general, but a lot of young people and a lot of us in our 20s and people in our 20s and 30s, you dishonored your mom and you need to go say you're sorry. Teenagers, you have shown your mom complete disrespect. It doesn't matter if she was Mother Teresa or Mother Evil. She's your mother. You shouldn't speak that way about her. Now, I'm not saying you approve. It's not an obedience thing, but the Bible says that honor comes back for us. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another in love. Put them above yourselves. And here's three ways you can do it. The first way is prioritize them. That soldier, that Marine in that chair needed to be prioritized. He was being overlooked, he was being ignored, and he was being just completely put aside. And a lot of us feel that way. And if we, the rest of us, would stop and show people some honor instead of being so in between our ears and concerned about us and prioritize them. Because when you put somebody first, you honor them. This happens every time that person comes to the top of the list. And I wanted to tell you the rest of the story with the gentleman in the wheelchair. For the next 3 days, that was like on the first day. Every time I saw that guy coming in, I don't know if the boat noticed or he just got it spread. Because every time that guy came around the corner on a cruise in a wheelchair, the doors parted and the sea parted. That guy never had to wait in line for nothing. It was awesome to see coming down one of the long ways, and there's people everywhere, and all of a sudden it just starts parting, and then there's the guy, the Marine in the wheelchair. because I just chose to prioritize him. I didn't give him any money. I later talked to him and found out his story, but I didn't make a big deal. I just said, stop, people. We're going to prioritize this guy and get him where he needs to go. Priorities. Prioritize them. You may need to prioritize somebody that just gets under your skin. Open the door for them. Maybe just send them a note. I don't know what that looks like for you, what's appropriate for you and whoever the person is in your life, but prioritize them. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And this is not just the money scripture. We honor God by putting him first. I tell you all the time, in the morning, sometime in the day, give God the first part of when you think your best is. It does have to do with tithe. The reason we tithe is because we give God our first, the first fruit. And you can honor people by letting them go first, opening the door for someone and letting them go through, opening the door for the little old lady and honoring just her age, opening the train doors and letting some lady sit down. Of maybe today when we all run out of here and we're running for Mother's Day, no matter what restaurant you're going to, and as soon as I say amen and somebody's cooking, we're going somewhere, right? Honor somebody in front of you. Your world's not going to end if you get the second piece of chicken, not the first. I know some of you. I've watched some of y'all run to the... If you get the first burrito or the third burrito... But maybe it's honoring somebody. The second thing, praise them. Because, you know, honor has a language. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 9, that with the tongue we praise the Lord. In other words, your mouth gets us in trouble. But with our mouth we praise God. And with it we curse the very thing he created. The first thing he created. Who have been made even better, what? In God's likeness. And you are speaking a curse of somebody who is God's creation. And I'm not going to stand up here and pretend to tell you that I'm good at this because I struggle. I told you I was transparent. I struggle. My wife tells me that I too often use the term moron. Not about you guys, of course. Oh, please don't leave the church. I'm sorry. But we show them honor, people who honor who the Bible says are made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth should not come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this shouldn't be. Yet we do it all the time, including me. I will profess and tell you, I've always said this, I'm a news junkie. I like watching news and just the political stuff. It intrigues me. And that's probably when I do go moron. You know, watching the news and the elected officials that I'm supposed to be honoring. You know, I honor you, moron. It just doesn't work that way. It's not, here's the other part of it. Here's the hard part. Honor for someone does not require their presence. Y'all get where I'm going with this? You can't reverse course. I can't say to Jimmy, hey, man, Jimmy, and show Jimmy honor, and then turn around. Jimmy walks out the door. He's out of my sight, out of my vocal, you know, my mouth, and then go, moron. I've never done that about Jimmy. He's a great guy. But do we do that? Oh, I honor you. Yeah, I honor you. I honor you. Oh, yes. You're honor. We do it at church all the time. Put on the happy face. Honor. They walk out the door. Can you believe that, moron? Honor does not require somebody's presence. And because it affects us and comes back to you, it's just because they're not near shot doesn't take away the fact that they need to be honored. And the third one, you need to protect them. We protect the things that we honor, that we value, the things that we honor. There's a lot of you now. You might not be home, but you have an alarm system, you have cameras, and you have a big, mean, angry dog. When you're at home, you have an alarm, a camera, a big, mean, angry dog, and several loaded guns. Why? Because you honor the stuff around you. You value it. You protect it. One version says that in John chapter 7, verse 18, it says, those who speak for themselves want glory only for themselves, but a person who seeks to honor the one who sent him speaks truth. In other words, there's nothing false in him. Let me just put it to you this way, and we'll close. We need to begin to not only honor the name of God, but in honoring it, protect it. We live in a world where it's just, we whip out GDs and we say Jesus Christ all the time, but it ain't because he's your Lord. Now, I will say this ahead of time. I'm not a big Florida Gators fan, so y'all just relax. But one of the most impressive things I've seen was I watched Tim Tebow. Was on a golf course, and he was playing golf with people. If you've seen this video, you can probably go look it up. And they're playing golf, and this guy next to him is swinging and hitting it and just sending it flying, and it's not. And every time he does, the guy says, Jesus Christ. And Tim Tebow would quit back, saved your soul. Then the guy would hit another one, and he'd say, Jesus Christ is King of Kings. And he'd swing it. And every time he had a, and it just said to me, he's honoring God by defending him. I don't take that lightly. And I know for a lot of us, where you're raised, where you hear GD and Jesus Christ all the time. And let me just tell you, God didn't damn you, he freed you. He didn't damn you, he saved you. He honored you by giving you his best. The least we can do is stand up and go, no, that's not right. You may catch some flack for it. People may say thank you. When I stopped traffic for that man in the wheelchair, there were some people just as angry as they could be. But there were people who said thank you. Protect them. And here's the truth. As Josh, you can come on. The more I value, the more I honor, the more I get value from it. In other words, the more I value my church, the more you'll get from church. The more you value your God, the more you'll get from God. The more you honor your parents, the more you'll get from your parents. And today it may be that some of us, we say, Clint, listen, I need to get right. I've dishonored God. I've dishonored my Savior by walking away. I've dishonored, and I want to do something different. That may be you today. Or I really don't honor God because I've never really received what Jesus did for me. I want to do two things. First, encourage you. When you start honoring people, that person's going to come in front of you and they're going to aggravate the hound out of you. Just going to be the way it is. But choose honor and watch what God does. Now for everybody else, just bow your head and close your eyes, and then we're going to get to the restaurants first, and you can get chicken and burrito first. Or get mama's ham or whatever. Aunt mama shouldn't be cooking today. If mama's cooking today, shame on you. Well, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Father, as we bow our heads and just close our eyes, just to take a minute just with you. God, if we dishonored you now, even I repent. Father, I'm sorry. And if you're in the room, if you're watching online and you say, Clint, I need to know Jesus because I'm dishonoring God by walking away from Jesus. Walking away from my Savior. Maybe you've never met your Savior. The Bible says all you have to do is pray something like this. You just say, God, forgive me. I receive you now as my Savior. I thank you for grace and mercy, and I give you my life. In Jesus' name. And when you say that to God, just you right where you sit, the Bible says your eternity is secure, and then you can begin taking care of all the other stuff. If that's you this morning, just real quick, nobody's looking around. If you're watching online, shoot us a message. We got a room full today. We're getting out of here right now. But if that's you, say, hey, I just need to start this walk, or I need to start it again, just wave at me real quick because I want to pray with you.